evening and welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord and I am just so appreciative of this choir that sounds like heavenly angels, don't they? Don't they? They add so much to our time of worship and our praise and thanksgiving of God. And that's what we're here to do, is to lift up in prayer and praise our thanksgiving to Almighty God, to be in worship. And we're so grateful to you if you're visiting with us today. Our guests, we want to make you at home. This is an extension of God's family here at Calvary, and you were one of us when you walked through those doors, and we are so glad to have you. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Baby, so cute. Yeah. So I didn't know you had four daughters.
Yeah.
Wow. You poor man.
I will be once they all get married.
I like that thing you said. It's better. I'd rather have four girls than four boys. Than that.
Honestly,
no,
I'm an average. But I wanted to say payback for my loose years.
Yes, it could. Well, I don't know. I should have been paid back too, but I was fortunate. Yes, indeed, Mom.
Take a picture of me with his name tag on.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Calvary, and welcome, as the pastor said. My name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your liturgist this morning. And we have all come together this morning to God's house to worship Him, our Lord and Savior, and we can do that together, and I'm just so excited to be at God's house today. Okay, announcements. First, I think VBS needs to be right at the top of our announcement, so I'm going to call on Miss Barbara. And the dates for VBS, Barbara? July 18th through the 22nd. 9 to 11:30. Please, please dig around and bring us some shoe boxes and some material. And some kids,
Barbara, do we have sign-up sheets that we can use in the office? Because we have people who call and we need something to... Do you have sign-up sheets, registration sheets?
For the children.
Okay, that'd be great.
I just want to give a praise to the ladies of this church who have been working diligently to have this VBS put on. You know, we do it every year, and it can get a little stressful, but, you know, bless them for serving and using their time and talents. Don't forget your prayer and praise cards, your salty service cards. We have worship committee, two Bible studies, and the food bank going on this week, and it's all on the back of your bulletin. If there's no other announcements, yes, Miss Betty? Rhonda?
Yes, please remember the Boy Scouts this morning. They left early this morning for Tennessee for summer camp.
Ooh.
I believe there was probably about seven boys that were going this morning with their leaders. So just keep them in your prayers. This is a new summer camp that they're going to that they hadn't been to before. So just safe travels, that they have a wonderful time. They achieve some rank and possibly some merit badges and stuff, and that they come home safely on Saturday.
Amen. Amen. You know, the Boy Scouts are another extension of our ministry here at Calvary. Okay, would you please get out your opening words, and we'll do this together. Aim to please God and not others. Strive to do what is good and right.
Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God.
Turn away from the ways of the world.
Turn to God who loves you and forgives you.
Join your hearts in this time of worship.
Join together with our Creator who loves us and redeems us.
Amen.
If you would stand and turn in your hymnals to page 378, we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 6 of Amazing Grace. If you turn to number 887, we'll have our affirmation of faith. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No, in all things we are more than conquerors. Through the one who loved us, we are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As
are you doing this morning, boys and girls? Doing all right? Let me ask you a question. Are you all good children? Oh, you are. Most of the time. Oh, that's great. Hello, sweetie. How you doing? She says, I don't know who that is. You should, sweetheart. Yes, I see you every Sunday. Now, I want to know if when you do things that are wrong, do any of you do things that are wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Bradley says he does it all the time. Now, does that make you bad children?
No.
Or good? No, it doesn't. Why not? Everybody makes mistakes, and how do we atone? How do we? That's not a word you probably know. Let's see. How do you move on from your mistakes? How do you correct them and move on? You apologize and not lie. That's a good thing. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? Because we're ashamed. We feel bad when we do things that are wrong. What are some of those wrong things? Can you tell me? Stealing would be wrong. Yeah. Doing what? Talking back? Stealing people's cars. That's definitely a wrong thing. That's not only a wrong thing, that's a criminal thing. Yeah. Did you say something, Thomas? Talking back. Do what now? Giving people attitude. So having a smart mouth, huh? Having a smart mouth. Yeah.
Well, the choir's not shaping up too good.
Well, you know, we do things that are wrong, but we can move forward because, as I think it was Bradley who said, you apologize and you don't do it again. You don't do it again. You apologize and you don't do it again. Did you know that you can go and ask God for forgiveness? You can say, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for this. And guess what God will do? Forgive you. Sarah had the answer. God will definitely forgive you. Whenever you do wrong things, if you apologize for them, it makes it all better and you can be a good person. You are a good person. You are good children. And God loves every single one of you. We're going to bow our heads and have a prayer. Let's pray. We are grateful to you, O God, that you love us so much, that you don't count our sins against us because we have apologized and asked for forgiveness. You are ready to give it to us each and every time. And help us to be those children and those people that you would have us be. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, I think there's enough candy for everybody. Let's see if we got enough candy for everybody. You need some candy too, don't you? There you go. All right, and we continue to worship God this morning with the presentation of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are filled with gratitude because of your love for us, and the fact that we have forgiveness from you means that we can lead new lives every day of our life, renew our spirits and our hearts, and give us, dear God, a deep sense of gratitude for all you do for us. Will you bless these gifts and everyone who gives them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. pray for God's love to rain down upon us, especially on this day when so many have been tragically killed and wounded, the incident that took place in Orlando earlier today. May God's love rain down. Blessings pour out upon those hurt, wounded, suffering, and dead. And give it to the Lord today. We also have those that have been sick in the hospital. Johnita Hoffman is at Shands and University of Florida Hospital, suffering from infections to her legs, and she needs our prayers today in a special way. As does Kitty Fuller, who is home now but recovering from pneumonia. She needs our prayers today. And I invite you in these moments of silence to call upon God and open your heart to the love of God. And may God surround you with a special peace that passes all understanding. And give yourself anew to Him. And if you feel led to share the name of someone, a situation in life, or a place in the world that needs God's healing touch, please offer your prayer to God, silently or aloud. Oh God, our heavenly Creator, You are always making something new in us and in the world. So open our hearts today to knowing You in a new way, to experiencing Your love in a new way, and in sharing Your love in new ways. May we be open-hearted and open-minded to know that You are beyond what we can ever imagine, far beyond whatever walls we try to construct. For You are always beyond the bounds of our imaginations. Open our hearts to have no boundaries, no walls, and no limits. In the name of Christ, who has blown the lid off the box of life and of death, we pray using the words He taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 367 in your hymnals, we'll sing He Touched Me.
Our scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through chapter 8, verses 3, found in your pew Bibles on page 80. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "Well, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown such great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterwards, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and as some of the women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Jonah, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Thanks be to God. Amen. One of my preaching professors was from Duke. And he liked to tell the story of this young man from up north who came to Louisville to study at the Baptist Seminary there. It wasn't long before this young student secured a job preaching in a little church over near Lexington. Well, this young preacher, on his first Sunday, he lit into tobacco pretty hard, smoking it, chewing it, growing it, etc. It was all the same to him, and it was all sin. After the service, the head of the deacons stopped him at his car and told him that while, like all good Baptists, they were, of course, opposed to tobacco, it was important to know that quite a few of the church members raised tobacco for a living. And it might be good to avoid that topic in future sermons. So the next week, the young preacher lit into alcohol, and he did it really good with all the statistics about drunk driving and broken homes and illnesses. And again, the head of the deacons met him after the church, met him at his car, and after admiring the sermon for a few moments, he allowed as how quite a few folks in the church were employed at the local distillery. And it might be best to let up on the alcohol issue as well. So the third week, the preacher opened up with both barrels on gambling. He outdid himself. It was a scorcher. And the deacon met him at the car one more time, and before he opened his mouth, the preacher shook his head and said, "What this time?" "Well, preacher," the deacon said, "you see, a lot of folks, including me, work on horse farms. And we all know those horses are for racing, which means gambling. So if you could just let up on..." Well, the young pastor had about had it. He said, "All right then, what can I preach on?" The deacon thought for a second and he said, "Well, why don't you try Chinese communism? There ain't a Chinese communist anywhere around here." And in our gospel lesson, Jesus directs sharp words at the rich and supposedly holy Pharisee, saying, you, over and over again, making sure that the man knew that his words were pointed directly at him. This is what happens. Jesus is invited to dine at the home of Simon, a Pharisee. And a Pharisee, you should know, that is a Jewish person who is highly particular about following Jewish religious rules and regulations, a person for whom purity in relation to God was most important. So Simon the Pharisee was interested in Jesus. He'd heard about him and wanted to have him over to his house. He was intrigued, he was curious, but also at the same time he was rather skeptical and dismissive. Now, after Jesus got there, the word got out that he was there, and people had begun to gather. A crowd gathered around at Simon's house. The dinner was probably outdoors in their patio area. It was easy for these visitors to come and kind of watch what was going on and to observe from the sidelines what was happening at the dinner. And so the crowd was intrigued, and they were curious, too. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to see what he had to say, and they thought, well, maybe he'll perform a miracle. Suddenly, the text tells us that a woman who is a sinner pushed herself through the crowd to get to Jesus. She came to where he reclined at the table, which most people did in those days. She stretched herself out at his feet, covered his feet with oil, and bathed them with her tears, and she dried them with her hair, kissing them the whole time. Now, this was just too much for the Pharisee Simon. "How could you," he thought to himself, "how could you, a rabbi, allow this particular woman to touch you?" He who had never let any woman touch him other than his wife, much less all this bathing and oiling and wiping and kissing. It was just way too much for him. And if looks could kill, Simon gave Jesus one which would have wiped out a whole neighborhood. You didn't have to be divine to know what Simon was thinking. It was written all over his face. Disapproval, disgust, great offense at what had taken place under his own roof, so to speak. Jesus looked at Simon and he told a story that put Simon in his place. He said, "Two men owed a loan shark money. One owed 500, the other 50. And neither could pay. But the shark, the loan shark, forgave the debts of both of them. Who will love him more?" Simon, who will have more gratitude, more devotion? And Simon said, well, the one who was forgiven the debt, the greater debt, would have more gratitude. And then Jesus calmly pointed out to Simon that the woman had done for him what Simon himself as a host should have done. And he said, you, Simon, did not give me water for my feet. You did not give me oil to anoint me. You did not kiss me. You did not welcome me. But what about this woman? What was her situation? It doesn't say what kind of sinner she was. We can make all sorts of conclusions, but she knew. The important thing is she knew she was not a good woman. She knew she needed forgiveness and love. And unlike Simon, she had no lifetime of doing the right thing to fall back on. She knew she was in trouble and needed help. So for her, for this woman, forgiveness is everything. Think about it for a moment in her life. After a while being indebted, owing others, knowing yourself first and foremost as a sinner, these realities come to dominate and define you. You are no more or less than what you've done in the past. The mistakes you've made, the debt you owe. When you are forgiven, all of that disappears and you are restored and renewed and set free. You are no longer held back by your past. So yes, for her, the sinner, forgiveness is everything. She heard the good news. She believed the good news. She knew herself to be loved and forgiven by God. Only one who knew that she had been forgiven much could respond with such gratitude and love. But the truth Jesus points to cuts both ways. It's not only that one who has been forgiven much loves much. It's that the one who is forgiven little loves little. Simon couldn't hear it because he didn't think that it applied to him. He was a good man. He could rest on his laurels from all the things he had done in his life. I heard a story of a woman who took her three children to the doctor when they got the measles. Well, the old doctor saw them in his waiting room, in his examination room, and so he began to get a shot ready to give the children. And when the little one saw the doctor coming with his needle, he started yelling out, "Just them two sick, not me. Just them two is sick. Not me, Jesus." That was what Simon said. "What you're saying doesn't apply to me. I'm not sick. I'm not a sinner. I don't have hurt and pain and incompleteness. I'm a good person. What you're saying applies to other people, not to me." That's what Simon thought. And until Nathan pointed the finger at him and shouted, "Thou art the man," that's what King David thought. "Not me, Lord. Only them people are sick. Go save the Chinese communists and leave me alone." This story tells both halves of the truth. The joyful truth that those who recognize their need receive their heart's desire and live out of gratitude and love. Overflowing with love. so full it cannot be contained. It just flows out over the top in life. And the flip side is the tragic truth that those who believe themselves to be righteous or sufficient on their own never know the joy of receiving forgiveness, and so pursue lives which are absent genuine gratitude or love. Our capacity to forgive others comes only when we recognize how very much we have been forgiven by God. Our capacity to love others comes only when we realize how very much we have been loved by God. Our capacity to live fully comes only when we realize how very much Christ living in us is what true life is. Forgiveness is everything. This morning, Andy Haney is going to bring us his testimony about forgiveness before he leads us into the final hymn of the day. Andy, will you share with us?
Pastor Esther asked me to prepare a sermon on Chinese communism. No, she didn't. I actually have a really... Some of you have heard it before. 10 years ago tomorrow,
wow,
my son was in an accident. He had a new motorcycle. He was going home. Somebody pulled out in front of him. My wife and I went to California because the doctor told us we needed to go. And when I, by the time I got to California, my heart was filled with hate. I didn't know who the person was that had pulled out in front of my son, but I hated him. And we got there, and my son was hurt bad. He was never able to speak. After 2 or 3 days in the hospital, being there, and you know, my son was on just about to go on life support. It was a bad scene, and there was a man there that we didn't recognize. I had Marines there. My son was a Marine. I had support of the Marines. God bless the Marines. This man approached my wife and I 2 or 3 days after we got there and told us that it was his wife that had turned in front of my son. And they were neighbors, my son and these folks. And he told us that his wife had, the night before, tried to kill herself, and wanted to know if my wife and I would come and talk to his wife. And, you know, what was I going to say to her? If I could just have found her a few days earlier, what I was going to do. My wife and I went. And by the time we got to the house, before we ever walked in the house, the Holy Spirit was there waiting for us. And the Holy Spirit just... filled us up, and we had no choice in what was said and done in that house that night. We walked in, and without much hesitation, we forgave the lady. And it was like all of the tragedy was, for a moment, lifted off of our shoulders. And we sat and talked to her, and in that air of forgiveness and the Holy Spirit being there with us, And she just didn't know what she could do to help. And I told her that she could visit my son. She could spend time with him. And from we ended up being there 13 days before he died. And this lady and her husband, after the third day, were there every day at 4 o'clock. And they sat with my son so my wife and I could go and have 3 hours to ourselves. And they did that every day until he passed. And it was only much later, maybe yesterday,
that I realized that maybe it was me who needed the forgiveness for the hate that filled me up in the when I first found out about it. And the Holy Spirit was the one that allowed us to forgive that lady. But God was waiting on me to ask forgiveness for myself. And thank God he's a patient God. I guess that's a... So forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness can change your life. All I can say is if you're in a bad situation and you do and you have the opportunity to forgive someone, you might try it and you might just see how it can lift you up and out of a terrible situation. Now if you'd stand and look to the screen behind me, we're going to sing "You Are My King." I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor.
Forgiveness is a radical thing. Some scholars believe it's what got Jesus killed because he dared to forgive. And it is one powerful thing. I want you to feel and know yourselves as forgiven, freed, free to love, and free to forgive, free to offer forgiveness to those who seek it. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in His peace. Amen.